From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, August 17th, 2026. Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and several fellow Democratic representatives say their Republican counterparts are failing to use their investigative authority to probe the fatal Immigration and Customs Enforcement shooting of a Biddeford man last month. As Ari Snyder reports, Pingree led a field hearing on the shooting in Biddeford today.
In addition to testimony from local elected leaders, lawyers, and immigration advocates, the House members heard from Duran Guerrero's parents who traveled here from Columbia. His father, Omar Duran, says his son's death has left an irreparable hole in their family.
Nuestro sueño siempre fue volvernos a reencontrar y darnos un abrazo.
Our dream was always to be reunited and to hold each other again.
Hoy ese sueño ya no puede realizarse.
Today, that dream can no longer come true.
Pingree and her colleagues said Duran Guerrero's death was the direct result of the Trump administration's mass deportation push and failure to properly vet immigration agents, and criticized House Republicans for refusing to hold official oversight hearings on ICE killings. Representative Benny Thompson, the ranking Democrat on the House Homeland Security Committee, vowed to conduct an official investigation into the shooting if Democrats retake majority control in November. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Meantime, Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry says his office continues to investigate the shooting of Duran Guerrero by an ICE agent earlier this summer. Maine law says the AG's office has a responsibility to investigate the deadly use of force by law enforcement and present findings to the Maine Deadly Force Review Panel. In a statement, Fry said the panel can then make recommendations, but does not have jurisdiction over the Department of Homeland Security. He said any questions that arise from the review will be the responsibility of either the Trump administration or Congress to address.
There are a lot of people running for Congress this cycle. There is no one who is as qualified as this gentleman is.
Johnson, who has served as House Speaker since 2023, acknowledged that history suggests that Republicans will lose the House during the November midterms. But Johnson said LePage's experience as governor and in business will allow him to defeat Democrat Matt Dunlap and flip Maine's second congressional district seat. A Bridgeton man who was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in late January is back home with his family in Maine after being detained in Arizona for nearly 7 months. Marcos Gaspar da Silva, originally from Brazil, has since been granted legal permanent residency, according to a statement from Congresswoman Shelley Pingree's office. In a telephone interview today, da Silva said he is doing fine, happy to be with his family, but will likely need counseling to recover from his ordeal.
Because I'm still processing everything. This week I'm going to start talk with psychologists for understand what's going on with me.
During his detention, da Silva said he was transferred several times, slept on the floor in the cold, experienced a severe tooth infection, and had limited access to good drinking water. His wife, who was in contact with attorneys and congressional staff in three states, says she is grateful to have him home but worries about his readjustment and what comes next. A Guilford man is charged with aggravated assault after police discovered two critically injured adults yesterday who had been stabbed and attacked with a hammer. Police say the male victim died of his injuries on the way to the hospital, and a woman was airlifted to an undisclosed hospital and is in critical condition. Their names are not being released. Police say 49-year-old Ryan Carlton is being held at Piscataquis County Jail and that the charges will be elevated when he is arraigned tomorrow. Mobile homeowners in Maine are paying nearly $480 a month on average to rent the land underneath their structures, according to state figures released today. Greg Payne, the governor's housing advisor, says the data will help residents compare lot rents at different parks around Maine, and he says the information will help state policymakers respond to the influx of corporate buyers who are raising rents in some parks.
I think it's going to allow them to assess what more, if anything, should be done to better protect people from the impact of the predatory practices of private equity.
Mobile home parks in Sagadahoc and Waldo counties have the highest average rents. Washington County has the lowest. Of the state's 19,000-plus mobile home lots, nearly 2,400 are unoccupied. Payne says the data will also help the state launch a new program that's designed to fill those unoccupied lots and create more affordable housing. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services recently announced an array of sanctions against nearly three dozen Medicaid providers, most targeted agencies that hadn't billed the program in more than a year. But several were suspended over suspected fraud, and two lost their license following allegations of substandard care. One is owned by an immigration attorney whose law license has been suspended. Maine Public Steve Missler joins me now with more on this story. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Nicole. Good to be with you.
So, Steve, who is the attorney at the center of these allegations, and what can you tell us about him?
Felix Hejinamana is an immigration attorney from Portland who immigrated here from Rwanda. In July, his law license was suspended by the Maine Supreme Judicial Court. That suspension came after the Board of Overseers of the Bar, which is the regulatory body for the court system, petitioned the court with a litany of complaints about his work on asylum cases. These allegations were quite serious. He was accused of not filing important legal documents to support his clients, in some cases leading to their deportation. The court suspension order deemed him, quote, an imminent threat to clients. And Hejinamana disputes these allegations and is fighting to get his law license in good standing, but the court still saw enough reason to immediately suspend him and assigned other attorneys to handle his clients. And Nicole, this suspension came just a few months after the state yanked a provider license for a firm he operates called Beyond Residential Care that is supposed to provide full-time care to people with severe and intellectual disabilities.
Okay, so these are two different cases involving Hejinamana. There's the matter of his work on immigration cases, now this separate action against the healthcare company he owns. What is DHHS saying about that?
Well, the allegations here are pretty serious. They center on the care that his company was providing at group homes that are supposed to watch after people with severe intellectual disabilities. And this is full-time care, 24/7. And the company, Beyond Residential Care, was a licensed provider of Maine Care. That's the state's Medicaid program. That means that it was receiving public money to care for these people. In fact, it has received more than $16 million since enrolling in the program just 4 years ago, according to DHHS. But that ended in May because the state yanked the company's provider license on an emergency basis.
So what kind of problems did the state uncover, and when did this happen?
So the issues the state found actually go back a couple of years. There has been like correction plans submitted aimed at fixing them, but the issues didn't seem to improve, and the state's interest in them seemed to intensify late last year when it conducted a bunch of site visits to these group homes in mid-December. They found unsanitary and unsafe living conditions, dog feces and urine on the floor, urine-soaked sheets, unsecured medications, and insect infestation. According to documents, DHHS tried to get the company to fix these problems, but there seemed to be a lack of acknowledgement that the problems even existed. So in March, the state notified Beyond Residential Care that it was pulling its license.
Has Hejinamana responded to these allegations in either the DHHS matter or the suspension of his law license?
He has, and he disputes the allegations in both. On the law front, he says he's cooperating, but he plans to contest the suspension. He actually posted a video about it on social media in mid-July and said the allegations lack context. He's making a similar claim in the DHHS matter. In an email to me, he broadly disputed the allegations about his company's care, but also appeared to suggest that any violations discovered may have been committed by a previous provider. He said he's suing DHHS to get the underlying records, which he believes will show that the agency improperly assigned those violations to his company.
Steve, all of this is happening as the Trump administration's focus on Medicaid fraud by providers, specifically those run by recent immigrants to the U.S., and especially those in states run by Democrats. Is there any connection to what's happening here?
Well, this kind of brings us back, Nicole, to the beginning, which is that we learned about this case because DHHS announced a wave of enforcement actions a couple of weeks ago. They didn't highlight this case. In fact, DHHS didn't name any of the sanctioned providers until we asked them to. But this announcement closely coincided with a visit to the state by Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is Trump's administrator of Medicaid and Medicare services. And Oz has been very critical of Maine's fraud enforcement. It's not clear that the suspected fraud is a factor in this particular case. It's substandard care. Nevertheless, it's certain to become part of the political discussion that's been going on here for more than a year as Republicans accuse the Mills administration of mismanaging Maine care and to try to draw comparisons to the fraud uncovered in Minnesota.
Steve Missler, thank you.
My pleasure.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, wildfire risks and readiness. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.